Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. And of course, this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm going to read the testimony. And you know, you remember, I ordered him to do his story. The reason I said that is I've been singing that song to glory if anybody ever wrote my life story. And I finally decided, maybe I better do that. So, but we're working on it now. But, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee to you. That is the scripture in Leviticus 25:9, actually starts in 8. That's on the Liberty Bell. So we started this nation by a scripture on its first bell from the book of Leviticus.
Love it.
Don't you love that?
Amen.
And I have to remind you, they rang it until they broke it. And if I'd get a chance, I'd do the same. Glory to God, because I'm committed to this nation. Now, let me see this. The secret ingredient, the fundamental source of America's strength and the secret of her success, philosophical, spiritual, political understanding that America was founded as a nation under God. The framers of our independence recognized that faith in the divine providence of God was essential to good government, and that is why faith was and still is an integral part of the framework of that governs this nation. And you all know that this ministry was founded on faith that Glory and I learned from Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin. And that faith in God, particularly in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. I quoted it this morning before I came to work. And, well, this is not work. I mean, this is the sum of to do. But I go through my faith scripture every day, and remind myself of all of these things where faith is involved. And faith begins right here. In the beginning, Elohim. You go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it tells you that He's the one that formed it. So this is a faith book backed in blood covenants to establish that faith. And this nation was based on these blood covenants, and there's been much blood shed since then to keep her to keep her strong and to keep that Constitution in its place, yeah, doing what it's supposed to do. Amen.
Amen.
Rick, the constitutions of other nations, I don't know anything about them, but this is the oldest one ever in existence. And my granddaughter married a man from Greece. In fact, he just got his citizenship here just a few days ago. And so they're one of them was born in the United States, and the other one born in Greece. And so Jenny started an orphanage in Thessaloniki. And so she had me meet two of Elias's sister or somebody. She said, I want you to meet 1st and 2nd Thessalonians.
That's pretty good.
Her name is Jenny Papapostolou. And I had to practice that to marry them. Sweet people. Anyway.
Well, I was thinking about Patrick Henry when you were talking about the faith element of even as you did this morning. You know, when he gave that, because we talked about his Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech was the 250th back in March of this year. But he says in that speech, it's a faith statement that he makes at the beginning of the speech when he talks about, you know, everybody says we're too weak to withstand so formidable an adversary. But he said, but there is a God who presides over the destinies of nations, and he will raise up friends to fight our battles with us. I mean, even from that point,
coming.
It was a faith step every step of the way for them to do what they... I mean, and imagine, you're going to take on the greatest military power on the planet, and you're this little bit, you know, 3 million people, and it absolutely took faith from the very beginning.
Yeah. Pat wanted me to meet his pastor, Jack Hayford. I can see it in my mind right now, in his office. And Jack, kind man, but he's pretty blunt. He sat down like this, and he said, "Copeland, I don't think you're balanced." And I thought, here we go. He said, "You're not supposed to be." He said, "You're a faith specialist, so stay in your lane." I didn't realize I was a faith specialist, but that's what I learned initially.
You know, that's interesting. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration, I learned this from David Barton, and Rush had a strong belief that God gives certain specialties to these different, even denominationally, these different passions for certain parts of the gospel and what God has. And I'd never heard that story about Hayford saying that to you.
Yeah, he did.
It's like a special operation. You're a spec ops unit of faith.
And there are pastors that try to be a kind of a jack of all trades. And I've known a few, and that's not my place to judge that. But if you pray in the Spirit and you find out where your lane is, what has God called you to major in?
Yeah.
The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. To find out where it is. Well, I just started out like Oral Roberts because he was my spiritual father. So I just preached like he did.
Yeah.
And then I heard a tape by Kenneth E. Hagin. You can write your own ticket with God and Paul's revelation. We had come home to preach at Grace Temple here. And I said, "Gloria, we have to have everything this man has. I never heard anything like this before." She said, "Okay." And then I was preaching in the book of Romans. I came across a scripture that said, "Owe no man anything but to love him." What? Gloria, she said, "If that's what the book says, that's what we're going to do." Well, I won't take but a moment on this because it is important to what we're studying about faith. You can't separate faith from God and God from faith. There was I won't go into all of the thing, but a really fine Ampex tape recorder. And I won't go into that. So I called a young man that I knew handle them. That night, I needed one of those. And he said, "Okay, I'll just put a note in it and send it to the Trailway bus station, and you can just pay me for it." I said, "Okay." And I thought, what have I done? Huh. So I told my dad, I said, "There's a package coming in the Trailway bus, so would you mind picking it up?" He said, "Sure, I'll do it." What I planned to do was just sign it and send it back. And when the Lord provided the money, then I'd get it. So I saw him get up, and I just forgot and went ahead preaching. And after service, I said, "I saw you get up. Did you get it?" He said, "Yeah, it's there in the trunk of the car." "Oh," he said, "when I left, there was a woman handing me this. It paid for that thing." And the Lord said, "I was way ahead of you. Now don't do that anymore."
I don't want to miss what you said a while ago about the different lanes, you know, because I think, mm-hmm. I think we've gotten to this place where we say to young people almost, everybody's got to go this particular track over here. And we've got to get back to saying, God's got something different for each member of the body. And you got to find that purpose that you've got.
1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and 15. It's all in there.
Yeah.
And you go to the little paragraph notices in the King James Bible. They help you with it. But you have someone over here that, evangelism, like Oral Roberts. He's a good teacher. He would teach in the mornings to the pastors that were supporting the meeting. And I would think, oh, against Austin, wonder why he doesn't do this in the pulpit. He wasn't called to do it in the pulpit. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then when I visited with him later, that was the reason. He said, I am an evangelist, and I am called to preach the goodness of God. Mm. He knew exactly what he was supposed to preach, and he didn't get out of that. He stayed on it, and he stayed on it, and he stayed on it. That was what God called him to do. And when he found it out, he was dying of TB. That he would build God a university, and so forth and so on. But he learned it then, and so he stayed right there. He wouldn't go out of that.
Do you remember?
Not one time did I, now, talking to me, he called the shots on some things. Mm. It came to pass not one time in the pulpit ever did he speak in tongues and interpret it. Not ever did he do anything like that. He preached evangelistically, and that's all he did. He stayed right in his lane.
That lane, yeah. Yes. Do you remember that there was a story of a guy that was an Olympian? They made a movie about him called Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
Eric Liddell. He's a missionary, actually. Ended up being a missionary. And his race in the Olympics ended up being scheduled on the Sabbath, and he refused to violate the Sabbath. And so he said, I'm just not going to run. And everybody knew he was going to win. He was going to win the gold. Nobody could compete with him. So he just wasn't going to run. So he traded with another guy, which allowed him to run in a different race he had not even trained for, and he wins the gold. Well, then he was asked about it, and he said, I believe God made me for a purpose. He made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I tell all the kids at Patriot Academy, it's so good because he's in his lane, right? I tell the kids at Patriot Academy every time, I say, first of all, let me tell you, when I run, I don't feel anybody's pleasure. Not God's pleasure. No, that's not my lane. I don't like running. But when I'm standing up in front of a group of kids, teaching them about the Constitution, and that's the light bulb comes on, and they get a spark of passion and patriotism, I feel God's pleasure. When we train military veterans on the Constitution, and they go, wow, now I know what I was fighting for, I feel God's pleasure. What you just described is when you're in that lane, you feel God's pleasure. And so teaching these kids that, and people in their 60s, 70s, 80s realizing, hey, God's not done with you. You're at a place where there's a place for you to run, and you're going to feel God's pleasure.
Because of my meeting you one time, and then because of watching you on Flashpoint, I made the decision right then, I must have this man on this broadcast, because there are so many people throughout the United States that don't know anything about the Constitution and don't care. Mm. But it's necessary to this nation.
Yeah.
It's necessary to the survival of this nation. Now, I have no idea how many other countries have constitutions and that kind of thing.
Right. I don't know the exact number, but there's no one that's had one that's produced as much freedom or, as you said earlier, has lasted anywhere near as long. The fact that we're still under the same Constitution. Now, we're going into 250 years of the Declaration. We're not quite to 250 of the Constitution, but the Declaration is what the founders described as the slab that the home of the Constitution was built upon.
That's the bedrock.
That's right. That without the philosophy of the Declaration, the Constitution wouldn't work. And that's why we see God mentioned so much in the Declaration. But this rebuilding of liberty in our country and having this chance over the next year, when I say everybody's got a lane to run in, I also want to challenge everybody out there that's watching, find part of that lane to be part of rebuilding liberty. In other words, you may be a teacher, exhorter, whatever your particular role is, anyone can be a better citizen. You can host a Constitution class or a Bible study on government and what God says about how to do government. That's what our biblical citizenship class is. You can run for office. You can help other people. You can get in God We Trust, as we talked about earlier this week, on the dais at your local government. There's so many. In fact, I've been talking about a 12-step recovery program, but unlike a personal 12-step recovery program, you just need to do one of them. It's 12 steps to save the country, and we're getting everybody to pick one. So you can go to our website at Patriot Academy and learn more about it. But the point is, we got about, from this point of the airing of this show, we got about 10 months, brother, to be ready for the 250th of our nation. And I don't want people to just do fireworks that fizzle. I don't want us just having a bunch of hot dogs and having a party on July 4th. We need to make sure that people know why they're waving the flag when they do it on July 4th. So we got less than a year to teach the truth, to lay the foundation upon those principles of truth, and have an educated, informed patriotism in this country.
I just had a thought here.
Yeah.
First thing I want to remind you, the 4th of July was set up as a day of prayer. It wasn't originally set up as a day of fireworks. It was a day of prayer. The Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And like Brother Rick said, it's the founding document of this nation. And the words are in there.
Can I put a fine point on that real quick?
Yes.
Because it is a prayer. In support of this declaration, this final paragraph, in support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence.
Yes, it is.
We mutually pledge to each other our lives, fortresses. So those words right there, like you just said, it was a prayer saying, we're going to do this, relying on God.
The other thing, I just had this thought, and I'm going to do it myself. Get the state and federal government telephone number and put it in your phone list, so that when something comes up, you just call them and tell them what you like and what you don't like. I'm an American citizen. I was born here. And I want to tell you what I think about this.
And build a relationship with them. There's such a, I think we just think these politicians are some other breed. They're like this different world. They're just like us. Build a relationship with them. Call them. Talk to them. Let them know, like you said, this is what I believe. And too often we only call when we're angry and we chew them out. How about when they do the right thing, picking up the phone and calling
them
and saying, thank you for voting that way. Or when that tough vote's coming up, calling them and saying, I really believe you should vote this way because, and give them a good reason. I think that's such a great, I never thought about telling people, put it in your phone.
Put it in your phone. And tack it up somewhere to remind you. I need to call those folks about this. And don't gripe. Give them your opinion.
Yeah, be honest and truthful.
And just tell them what you think about it. And why you think it, and if you have scripture for it, give them that.
Yeah,
because they are required to report it, whomever it is that answers it. And
we forget that we're in charge. When you think of that, you know, all over the world in 1776, every government on the planet, power and freedom came from God to the king, and then to the people.
Yeah.
This Constitution turns everything around and says power and freedom comes from God to you. To me, to us, we the people, and then we loan power to government. We said it yesterday, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So the whole reason we have a government is to protect those rights. So we loan power to government to do that. So they answer to us. The system does work if we work it.
Yeah.
And if believers will step up and actually engage in this process, we outnumber the enemy, but we're too silent. We're too quiet. We think that we're supposed to just be nice instead of actually being truthful, being kind.
I had a man tell me that one time, and he poked me in the chest.
Said, you're not nice enough?
No, he said, you Christians could control Capitol Hill, but
you'd just
never
get involved.
Get together enough to do it. The problem is, in my opinion, and it's pretty obvious, I'm in my lane. I've been criticized for the fact that I preach on prosperity and faith. That's my lane. That's what God called me to do. I read a book one time on the laws of prosperity. And then I read after Andrew Carnegie, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, all of these men. Henry Ford made the first camper. He took a Lincoln and made a motorhome out of
that.
It. They'd go up in the Catskills, Ford, Chrysler, and they would go up there, and they would talk about, there was Ford, Chrysler, and I don't remember those, but anyway, and they would discuss things that they could do in the automobile business that would help the American people. They were in competition with one another, but But they weren't trying to put one another out of business. They wanted to help the people. Thomas Edison was part of that. Andrew Carnegie was part of that. And so Andrew Carnegie was had a young man that he set him up. In fact, his name was Earl Nightingale. And he set up appointments with all these, and he went by and interviewed these men. And I think you can get a copy of it. It's called Think and Grow Rich or something like that. But the whole thing, Rick, was meet the needs of the people.
Yeah. Well, I you said you were in your lane doing faith, but you've been one of the few from day one to not shy away from quote-unquote politics. I remember you having David Barton on 20 years ago? I don't know. It's been a while. You've always been willing to say, the Bible is not compartmentalized to just this area. We're going to take biblical principles and infuse them in every area. And there's been too few in the body of Christ willing to do that. So I'm thankful for you doing that all these years.
Well, I had the Lord a number of years ago, a long time ago. He said, don't read about yourself in print anymore. He said, it's too hard to get the bad stuff out, and you begin to believe the good stuff. And he said, you weren't responsible for any of that either. He said, I did that. So he said, just don't do it. So I don't have social media accounts, and I sure don't want to read about myself. And there have been some nasty stuff written about me. It's like John Osteen said one time. He said, you know, I quit reading about the crisis. And so he said, I've missed some really big ones. So I don't read the ugly books anymore and don't do that. It all happened in Tulsa. I was a newspaper reader. And I thought, I'll fast my newspaper for 7 days, and I haven't picked up one since. Mm. Praise God.
I remember when I was in office, and same kind of thing, you know, everybody's always got something bad to say about you. And I remember these, you mentioned non-commissioned officers in one of our other programs, and the Non-Commissioned Officers Association came to one of my events to give me an award because I'd passed this bill requiring the Constitution to be studied by every kid in Texas. And this was back in 2001. And these guys get up and they give me this award, and I'm just in tears because it occurs to me, I've been worried about people saying bad things about me. These guys had people shooting at them. And at that point, I made the decision you were just talking about. I said, I don't care if they say bad things about me ever again. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to worry about it.
Praise God.
Those guys were willing to be shot at. At least I can do is let people say bad things.
And we're out of time. Oh, my. Brother Robert's first tent meeting, there's a guy that took a shot at him. And it was a shot heard around the world. Amen. So we'll be back in just a few moments. Give the Lord a praise.
Something life-giving on KCM.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Those are the words of Jesus, so we can believe them and expect to receive when we give. Just as a farmer expects to receive crops from the seeds he sows, we can believe God's word to receive the harvest from the financial seeds we sow. God wants you to be prepared to require no aid and be furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. He wants you to have plenty and be in position to have more than enough to give generously. And when we stay in that flow of giving and receiving, the Lord can use us to be a blessing to the world just for Him. Thank you, partners, for your faithful giving and support. Together, with you, this uncompromised word of faith has been preached from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. The word is being sent out through the BVLV radio and TV broadcast, the BVLV magazine, KCM.org, KCM events, social media, our prayer line, and our international offices. Through these available voices, people of all ages and cultures around the world can receive the good news of the gospel free of charge. So let me pray over your offering and stand in agreement with you to receive the abundant harvest Jesus said is yours. Heavenly Father, we receive our seed from you today, and we choose according to the obedience of faith to freely sow, knowing that you are increasing the fruit of our righteousness so that we may have all sufficiency in all things and that we may abound to every good work. Thank you for upholding us with the strong arm of your righteousness today. Thank you that your word written in our hearts, spoken out of our mouths today, goes throughout the earth along with our seed. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a strong week of teaching with Rick Green on the Constitution of the United States, Freedom's Frame. You need to get this. I encourage you to go back and watch these broadcasts free on KCM.org or our Roku channel, our social media. Watch it. I'm telling you, watch it with your family. It's vital to know about this and that the pitfalls that have happened to the Constitution. Just the devil just trying to destroy it, but it's still there, and it's still the law of the land, praise God. And, you're coming back.
Yes, sir.
Until next time, this is Kenneth Copeland and Brother Rick Green and all of our class reminding you that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. Yes, He is. I said, yes, He is Lord. Glory to God.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/give, or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.